if you tap the corporations for backing, then you've got to listen to some of the things that they want you to do. And as a professional society, you may find yourself kind of boxed in. If you want to promote like portable pensions, and your big company members don't want to, how do you handle that? So I think we're probably better off not to have the corporate back. But there are times when the money would be nice.
Would be nice, yes.
But then the president asked me if I would become secretary to CPMG, so that I have an excuse to keep attending the board meeting. So I've done that for the last 3-4 years, but really there's no work. Marcia does all the work, which is fortunate because with my hearing, I can't always pick up everything that goes on. But she records it and goes through them pretty well like the minutes. She's very, very efficient. Being secretary means I show up to the board and I bless what Marcia does. The other interesting thing was when I was president of CPMG, the 2 years before I became president, Leo Feinstein was president, and the board elected to take on some rather significant new endeavor. We said we would support Circuits Devices magazine. We were supporting a new manufacturing technology conference. And we increased our publication pages. The net of those things was that our reserves started going down the hill extremely fast. And then in 1989, I believe it was, our treasurer quit because somebody criticized her. And whenever you criticize a volunteer, they go, goodbye. But she quit in the middle of the budget cycle, and we did not increase our page, our transactions page, budget, cost, whatever you call it, the tab. We didn't change our pricing. And between those four things, we were sliding downhill at a rate of $60,000 to $80,000 a year, and our reserves in 88 were only $250,000. So in 1991, my second year as president, our reserves went as low as $60,000. But in 90, I could see this was happening, and so we started working on turning around. It took me almost a year to convince the board that we had to do some drafts, but the board does not swing around easily. So, the other thing we did was we took on a scholarship from Connectors for the whole PC1. The understanding that the home conference would usually have enough surplus to pay for it, and then they had a couple of bad years and ended up in a deficit. The manufacturing technology conference cost us $20,000 a year 3 years in a row, and Circuits and Devices magazine was running between $20,000 and $30,000 a year, which was money out of our pocket and we couldn't cover. So. First, we dropped Circuit Devices magazine. The Manufacturing Technology Conference tried several different ways to get the team that was overseeing that, and it was difficult. We had two ex-presidents and a vice president as a steering committee for that conference. And so made a number of suggestions. Leo Feinstein had his president, and then I made a number of suggestions that first year, how that conference could be gotten back into the black. And basically what it was is they were getting 150 people to the conference, they were planning for 250. And so their expenditures were far outstripping their revenue. And my solution was either get together with another conference where you show venue and you show expenses, or start planning for a 150-man conference to manage it. So the committee had basically ignored Leo, and they ignored me. So I sent them a letter, and they all resigned. they came to meet with me. They said, obviously, we're not doing what you want. That's right. But we don't want the conference to go down the tubes. And I said, okay. We're going to tell you everything we know about it and help you, make the transition, which is really very good of them. And basically, I set that TC4 to Cliff Seeley. And I told him that he had 1 year, either make it pay or we're going to cut it out. So they put together a budget, and that year they broke even, and next year they started making money.
Mm.
It was manageable to do. So that got out of that one. We dropped Circuit Devices Magazine. We had to pay an extra year. We had to give a year's notice. We dropped the Connector Scholarship, and we just tightened the reins on spending. We increased our subscriber prices on all our transactions. We went back to Tad with a special, showed him what had happened, showed him why we were losing so much money, and asked for a special dispensation to increase prices by 40%.
Uh-huh.
So they let us do that. And then we started controlling that, started holding the vice president of publications responsible for meeting his page budget, because he had overrun his page budget two or 3 years in a row. So, between those actions, in 1991, we showed a slight surplus. So not much, but we got our reserves up to about 80,000. And then, fortunately, the guy after me, C.P. Wong, stuck right to it.
Uh-huh.
And after him, Dennis Olson did as well. And so, that's my boss calling. Okay.
Okay.
So,
sounds like I better let you.
And we're in good shape today. We've got surplus today of like $1.5 million.
That's very
good. Over 100% of our budget. We've done very well.